Well, it is a pleasure to be, well, I don't know if it's a pleasure. I'm still trying to figure that one out. It's awesome that I get to be here and I get to speak to you tonight. And so Peter said to me, it's your last service. You can talk on whatever you want to talk about. I was like, that's really brave of you, Peter. But I was reading through a Bible study and this particular passage, these two sections stood out to me. And I thought this would be a great opportunity to share about what I'm doing and where I'm going and what that is about. So I wanted to start by saying that I have 99 problems, but sharing the gospel is not one of them. Sometimes, strap in, it's going to be a roller coaster of a ride. Sometimes we may find it easy to say, nah, not today. How often does this excuse come up for you? I have three nieces and two nephews, all under the age of six. And so often I'm asked to do things like, can we go outside and play? It's pouring down with rain, absolutely not. Or can we go have some ice cream? Can we go get some treats? And my response generally is, nah, not today. I do treat them sometimes. I will say that. But these passages in Acts are to remind us that there is no better time than today. So there are three key points that come out of today's passage. Firstly, Christians must be ready to interpret the scripture to those drawn to the Bible but bewildered by it. Secondly, nothing hinders any converted believer from being included in the household of God. And thirdly, nothing can hinder the spread of the gospel because the Spirit, not humans, is in control. So let's dive in. So looking at these passages in Acts, we see that God's work is moving out of Jerusalem. Acts 8:1 doesn't happen without Acts 1:8. The scattering of the Christians to Judea, Samaria, and beyond is the fulfillment of Acts 1:8. As Jesus had said that the church would be his witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I've never worked at Disney, but that sounds like a great movie idea. To the ends of the earth, yep. Although Christians... I love that there's just a little giggle, just one little giggle. Although the Christians were now being persecuted by the authorities, we see in verse 2 that they still honoured their martyred brother Stephen by giving him a proper burial. That meant that Stephen's body wasn't defiled by being left to rot out in the open. What we might have seen as a setback, the persecuted church in Jerusalem, the Lord actually used for his advance. As the church scattered and spread, so did the gospel. Verse 4 confirms for us that the fruit of the gospel began to grow. Philip is brought into the story at this point. As a Jewish Christian, Jerusalem was the perfect place with fertile ground for the gospel. Samaria, on the other hand, was regarded unclean. As there were people who were intermarried with Gentiles, it was considered rocky, unfertile ground for the gospel to grow and flourish. Philip went to Samaria and proclaimed Christ. It was at this point that we see in the passage that everyone paid close attention to Philip. He was casting out unclean spirits, healing the paralyzed and the lame. Maybe if they were unclean, they could have used the hand sanitizer that we now know today. The results of these works were that there was great joy in the city. This joy wasn't from the physical healings, but it was also from the spiritual deliverance and revival. This section of the passage helps us to understand the pressure that the church was under and the reality of the persecution. Stephen was martyred. The church was scattered. We're introduced to Philip, who continues to be one of the main characters in the second part of today's passage. So the second half starts from verse 26. Philip is called from his work with the Samaritans to a desert road that leads from Jerusalem to Gaza. Well, the desert is hot. Philip's probably thinking, nah, not today. The vultures are going to get the lion, Simba. I want to finish my work with the Samaritans. But Philip knows that God is calling him to something important. On his way, Philip sees a chariot. In that chariot is the Ethiopian eunuch, the court official of the Candake, the queen of the Ethiopians. I told you it was going to be a ride. This eunuch was in charge of all of the treasures. He had travelled from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. Philip comes next to the chariot to investigate further, to find out what the Ethiopian was reading. We learn that he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. The eunuch desired to know God. This is evident by the extensive travel that he had made just to get to Jerusalem to find out more about who this God was. But because of the circumstances, because of where he came from, he would have left empty-handed with no further understanding. We know that God rewards the seeking heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. John 7:17. If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. The eunuch is an example of the one who is living up to the light that he had, and it is through Philip that his ministry and Philip's ministry, that the full revelation of Jesus is given. The scroll that he had with him, the prophet of Isaiah, would have been purchased in Jerusalem at a very large cost. It was rare for someone to have a scroll of scripture. But this is another important example of his eagerness to know who God was. As Philip sees the eunuch reading the scroll, he asks a simple question. Do you understand what you are reading? Now, if you're running up to a chariot, I'm going to say that you're not going to be able to say it quite quickly. Now, would you, if you were sitting in a cafe in a window, a library or a park, go up to someone who is reading and ask, do you understand what you're reading? On the flip side, what if the question was asked to you if you were just sitting in a cafe or anywhere and someone came up to you and asked you that question? How would you respond? This eunuch was eager for answers and responded not with, who are you? But with, how can I unless someone explains it to me? In that moment, the eunuch invites Philip to join him. We are told in the passage that the scripture he is reading is from Isaiah 53:7-8. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. This passage was the perfect opportunity for Philip to speak of an innocent sufferer brought to the place of slaughter and so unjustly executed. Philip began to explain the passage and told the eunuch the good news about Jesus. Now, if you have your Bible in front of you or a device, you'll see that this story continues and the eunuch, as a result of Philip's ministry, is baptized. God's heart is for the lost. This passage reminds us that Acts and the missionary journey that we find throughout the whole book is only fulfilled by God himself. It is God who chooses Philip. It is God who directs him to the right place at the right time. And it is God who is preparing the Ethiopian. in saying that, it's important not to sit here and go, well, if God's so sovereign, he'll do all the work of the evangelism. Here at St. Alfred's, we have the opportunities, and many of them, to share the good news of Jesus to those around us. Are we prepared to do that on days where we want to say, nah, not today? Or do we look at the story of the scattered church and Philip and the Ethiopian and think to ourselves, tell me more, tell me more? God directs us, God prepares us, and the Spirit tells us. The greatest missionary of all time is God. Are we as Christians willing to be directed like Philip and take the gospel to where God tells us to? In 2016, after a lot of prayer, I started studying at Ridley College. I had no idea at that point in time that I would be standing here in front of you today. I had no idea that by starting at Ridley that I would get the chance to see Israel and Turkey, to delve deeper into God's word and to come closer to him. Just the same, prior to my role as the youth minister here, I was working in aged care. Through a lot of prayer, considerations and conversations, I made the change from aged care to youth ministry. I have worked alongside many young Christian adults, and it's been an absolute blessing, but they still have questions. I can ask them, do you understand what you are reading? But in reality, I might not be able to help them. But what I can do is I can push, guide, and direct them forward. I try my hardest to help them become mature followers of Christ. It is through my training and my calling to ministry that as a Christian, I have been called to mission. As I'm coming to the end of my time here at St. Alfred's, I'm going to say a day and a couple of hours. I'm excited to travel the road less travelled, like Philip, and to be taken where the Lord will lead me and guide me. In 2019, there was a seed planted for me to consider defence chaplaincy. It was a prompting from God, which then became a conversation, then affirmations from my friends and family. Very soon, in 11 and a half days, I will be leaving Melbourne. I'll be heading to basic training. 6 months of basic training and then 2 years in Sydney, working alongside senior chaplains as I learn and grow within that role. Now, I know my call to mission is specific. If you want to sign up, I'll get you when you're in the foyer, it's fine. But how can you in your life listen expectantly to Philip? Listen expectantly, like Philip, to the call of the Spirit, which will guide and direct you. Are you hiding your faith, scared of persecution that you might receive from friends, colleagues, acquaintances, whomever, just for being a Christian? There was a young adult here within the St. Alfred's community who made a friend in line while waiting for a COVID PCR test. That friendship grew. They moved in together. That friend, who wasn't a Christian, started coming to church. I'm sure many of you know who I'm talking about. What opportunities have you had, but instead of saying yes, you've said to yourself, nah, not today? There are three key points that come out of this passage that as Christians we need to remember. Firstly, Christians must be ready to interpret the scripture to those drawn to the Bible but bewildered by it. Secondly, nothing hinders any converted believer from being included in the household of God. Thirdly, nothing can hinder the spread of the gospel because the Spirit, not humans, is in control. We see that Philip was led by the Spirit to first of all leave Jerusalem and head to Samaria, then to go onto the road in which Philip had no idea what was about to happen. And on that road is where Philip had encountered the eunuch and was able to interpret the scripture. Yes, later in the story, the eunuch is baptized, but more importantly, the faith in which he takes up as a Christian means that he has a family, that he has a home. It didn't matter what Philip wanted to do, whether he said yes or nah, not today. Nothing was going to hinder the spread of the gospel. How, as Christians today, can we look at this passage and be prepared to share the good news and work as missionaries to further the kingdom of heaven? There are some of us who are called to other countries to share the good news, called to serve and share God's love locally, maybe nationally. But as Christians, we are called to mission. God's heart is for the lost. A church or a Christian that ceases to be missionary ceases to be a Christian. We have heard throughout our 2 Timothy series that we were each given gifts from God, that we must not be ashamed of our faith, our leaders, our church, or the gospel. We were reminded that we are to share the good news in whatever context that we are faced with. This can be within our church or within our local communities, maybe even standing in line for a COVID test. There is a call to keep the faith, just like there is a call, like Philip's, to go where we are needed. My calling is unique, however, there are 4 of us who are preparing for this ministry together. There's only 3 of us there. I know. God has called each and every one of us to this role, to walk alongside those who may not understand scripture or faith, but want to know more. We walk alongside them and help them understand God and who He is as a father and as a friend. Can you remember when you were a new Christian or when you decided to continue the faith handed on to you by your family and own it as your own? Can you remember the questions that you may have had and the lack of knowledge? Maybe you had someone walking alongside you as you navigated the new understanding of who and what God was to you. My challenge for you is that if you are in a small group, in a workplace or university, a cafe, bus, train, wherever it may be, to listen to the Spirit guiding you. Can you think of one person that you wish to share the gospel with? Can you invite them to come and join your small group? Can you start a conversation with them, helping them to understand the questions that they might be grappling with? Can you share your faith in the workplace, in your neighbourhood, a shopping centre, uni, cafe, bus, wherever you might be prompted to share it with someone? The gospel is offered to all comers. It requires no need for perfection, and there is nothing that stops them from being accepted as God's people when they repent and believe. God's heart is for the lost. Our hearts should be bridging the gap between the kingdom and the lost. I have been blessed over the last 18 months with a family here at St. Alfred's, one that has prayed for me and encouraged me and challenged me. So, thank you for the support that you have given me and the support that you will continue to give me as a church.